I want to say one more thing before I begin. When I was up in Indiana Thursday, my mother, of course, she was, you know, very sick, but she wanted me to bring her to Kentucky with me. And I said, well, Mom, I can't do that. And she said, well, I think I could just ride down there. And I said, well, I don't think that you could go. But she loved to come down here. And, of course, she was, you know, from Monroe County, Kentucky. And Brother Strode, I thought a lot the last 2 days about the song that you sing about the spot. Because a few years ago, when my mother came down here one summer to stay with us for a while, she... usually when she was here, she would have me take her over to Monroe County where she was from. And this one particular time, she wanted me to take her back to the farm where she grew up. And that farm was still in the family. Her great uncle was still living there by himself at that farm in the old farmhouse. And so I took her there. It was in the Rockbridge community, I guess you call it, right across from Skaggs Creek Baptist Church there in Monroe County. And I took her back there, and she wanted to show me, she wanted to take me to the spot where she got saved. She had told me many times about during revival there at Skaggs Creek one summer, that in the daytime she went to the garden to pick beans. And when she got to the garden, she didn't pick beans, she got saved. And so she took me back there to the place where she got saved. And when that happens to us, we just don't ever forget it, do we? I mean, we just don't forget about that time and place where the Lord saved us. And I don't even know if the little apartment that I lived in when I got saved, I have no idea if it's even still standing or not, but it doesn't make any difference. They'll never destroy what happened there. You know, something happened there that night that is good for eternity. And so she was blessed. This summer would have been 74 years ago that she was saved. It's good to know the Lord. In fact, that's the best thing that anybody can ever know, is to know that it's well with their soul. I want to read today from the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and I certainly ask for your prayers. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 31, read a few verses. And it says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And I'm going to stop reading there with that 35th verse. And I would like to speak just a little while today about the love that Jesus was talking about to his disciples at the time that these words were spoken. And of course, what he said to them, and we certainly need to always remember this. I spoke for a little while here this past Wednesday night, about the promises that were made by God many years ago that are recorded in His Word, that though these things that we have record of were spoken many, many years ago, they're still relevant to us today. The promises that were made then are still good for us in our day. And when Jesus told His disciples that by love, by them loving one another, that all men would know that they were His disciples, that's still true for us as His people today. It wasn't just true, that wasn't just an identifying mark then, but that's still true, just as true among us today. You know, Christianity is a, if we could use the term religion, it's a religion of love, and forgiveness. It's not about wrath, and it's not about murder. It's not about crucifying people. It's about love and forgiveness. And, you know, there are we read about different religions in the Scriptures, and I have made this statement here before. I have no idea what good the Sadducees' religion was, because the things that they did not believe in, I mean, the Scriptures basically tell us that they did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the Spirit. In other words, they did not believe in the afterlife. And I have no idea what good any of that did them. But Christianity, what Christ brought to us, is about love and kindness and forgiveness, because that's what God did for us. And the Bible tells us that love was the motivating factor in what He did in coming to the world. You know, it wouldn't make any sense what we read in John chapter 3, verse 16. It wouldn't make any sense at all to say that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because He hated us. That wouldn't even make any sense, would it? But the Scriptures tell us that God so loved us, He so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. And He did that so that we might be able to have eternal life. Now, the Bible says a lot about love. The Apostle Paul spoke about it in, if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have there what we might speak of as the love chapter of the Bible, just in the same way that Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible. The Apostle Paul there in that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians spoke about God's love and the attributes of God's love. And some of the things that he said was that love is something that never fails. And he said that, you know, Paul said, I could have faith, or I could have the great gifts of prophecy, but if I didn't have love, then it would not profit me anything. And so everything that we do in the work of the Lord, love is the motivating factor. And I don't know, I realize that people have different views of things, But I really believe that when Jesus rebuked the church at Ephesus for having left their first love, I believe that what they had done was that they had just left off their zeal of love. They had just stopped, though they were doing things, they had left behind their zeal of love, and it was not love that was motivating the things that they did. And so the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that if I have all of these gifts and have not charity or have not love, I'm nothing and it profits me nothing. And I think that we here today, we can testify, you know, thank God that we have been able to experience such a thing. But it's a wonderful thing to be among a church where there is love. And, you know, we should be very careful not to take that for granted, because there are, as I said, there have been in the history of this world, there have been religious orders that absolutely had nothing to do with loving each other. And so I'm thankful, but the love that exists among us would not exist were it not for God. We wouldn't have the love that we have for one another were it not for the Lord. Because the Bible tells us in the 5th chapter of Romans that what God does for us when He saves us is that He sheds His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now listen, if we allow other things, if we allow hatred or if we allow malice or anything like that to invade our heart, then that's our fault. That's our problem, and it's our fault because that's not what the Lord does for us, and that's not what He did for us when He saved us. He shed His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which He gave to us. Now, Jesus here gave us a tall order. And you know, I think that sometimes I think that people don't really act right about the things that the Lord said. I think sometimes, and what I mean by that is sometimes people try to put off an air of these things that the Lord asks us being easy, but they're not easy. And what the Lord asks of us here, and we have recorded in John chapter 13, verse 35, is not an easy thing. I mean, He gave us a very tall order when He said that we were to love one another, and He taught us that we were to love one another as He loved us. Now, you know, if you go to a and if Brother JJ were here today, being a policeman, I'd have to apologize to him for the analogy. But you know, if you go to a donut shop and you see a group of policemen sitting there at the table, and they are in their uniforms, you're going to, when you look at them, you're going to say, well, there is a group of policemen, because they have something that is an identifying mark. They are dressed as policemen. If you saw the same group of men sitting there in plain clothes, if you saw that same group of individuals sitting there out of uniform, you wouldn't be able to say the same thing if you didn't know them. You wouldn't be able to identify them. We could do the same thing with a group of soldiers. We could see them in their uniforms, in their camouflage, and we could say, well, there is a group of soldiers, because they have something that's distinguishing them and something that is identifying them. And Jesus told His disciples that what would distinguish them in the world to all people as his disciples would be love one to another. And, you know, I'm not sure, honestly, that any of us could really explain all the ways that that will work, could really explain all the ways that that will happen, but we do know that it's true because the Lord told us that it's true. He said, if we have love one to another, he said, by this distinguishing mark shall all men know that you are my disciples. And you know, I think that any parent that truly cared about their family, any parent that truly cared about their children, I believe that something that would be heartbreaking to any parent would be for them to raise up children and to instruct them and teach them things as they were growing up, and then to see them when they reach maturity to realize that they just didn't care anything for one another. I believe that would be heartbreaking to any parent. I'm thankful that I've never had to experience that. I'm thankful that my children, the three children that Shirley and I were blessed to raise, that they love each other. I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for that. And I think it would be very difficult for any parent to see that their children hated their siblings and just didn't have any concern and care for one another. And I certainly believe that Brother Mike spoke about in Sunday school this morning how that the Scriptures tell us that there are things that affect God. And use the example there when he looked down upon his creation in the days of Noah and he saw all the disarray and he saw all the sin that had got into their lives. And the Bible says it grieved him at his heart when he saw those things. And I think it would certainly grieve God at his heart if he looked down upon his children and saw that there was love that was lacking, because love is what he gave us when he saved us. But I think that God is also pleased when he looks down upon his children and he sees them loving one another and caring for one another. And you know, the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to just look upon our own things. Have you ever heard this? My oldest son one time said this. I'm just going to tell this on him. He said this one time. I don't remember how old he was, but he said something about looking out for number one, and I said, nope, that's not right. That's not what the Scriptures teach us, is it? The Scriptures don't teach us that we are to just look out for number one. The Bible tells us that we are not to look on our own things, but on the things of others. We are to be our brother's keeper and our sister's keeper. We are to show, the Scriptures teach us, and the Apostle Paul taught us in his writing to the Corinthians concerning a church that when one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And so, it's not about number one. It's not about just looking out for numero uno. It's about love that we have for one another. And God has given us that, and he did give us that in our hearts when he saved us from our sins. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? Because of human imperfection, sometimes it's not easy. If we look in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Listen to verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the last two verses of that same chapter, Paul said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And these are the things that Jesus was talking about. These are those attributes that the Lord was talking about. I believe when he said to his disciples, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, isn't that great that just as someone could identify a certain group of professionals, a policeman or fireman or whatever, someone could identify a certain group of individuals by the distinguishing marks that claim them to be such, that the children of God could be identified by the love that they have one for another. That's better than wearing a uniform, isn't it? That's better than anything else that would be able to identify us. And you know, I realize the older that I get, I realize more and more how short life is. And you know, we don't really have time to do anything but love. When we do anything but that, we are wasting precious time. And I think that people that love each other ought to express love for one another. I know that, and I've said this before, I know that love is something that has to be proven. And if it's proven, it won't be believed. If it's not proven, then it won't be believed when it's said. If you don't prove to somebody that you love them by your actions, they won't believe you love them when you tell them that you do. And so, you know, it is something that has to be proven. But I also believe that a manifestation of it ought to be shown. I think that people that love each other ought to tell each other they love each other. They ought to hug each other. They ought to shake hands. They ought to show each other that they love each other. That's a wonderful thing when that happens. I was this past Thursday, and I was getting ready to leave my mother there in the nursing home, and I did what I always do. Just before I left, I leaned over her bed and I kissed her, and I told her that I love her. I said, "Mom, I love you," and I left. You know what? I didn't know that I would never get to tell her that again. I had no idea in that moment, no thought that I would never get to tell her that again in this world. You know, we talk about things like that, you know, we know that it's true, but sometimes we experience it, don't we? We say, you know, if you love somebody and you want to tell them, because you might not get another shot. You might not get another chance. We say those things and we know that they're true. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. But I spoke last week about how thankful that I was to be brought up under the sound of the truth. And I've been thankful, and I've been blessed in my life, because I think there's something special, very special, about true Christian love. I mean, it's above and beyond filial love. It goes beyond the level of human love. There is human love that we have for our children. But there is a love that exists among the people of God. That's it's the agape love of God. He placed His love in our hearts, and the people of God can love each other like no other people in the world can. This love that Jesus was talking about to His disciples when He told them to love each other as He had loved them was a very special degree of love indeed. And I don't know why. I don't know that I could explain why. Maybe you can. I'd sure be glad to hear it. I don't know if I can explain all the reasons why that Jesus called this a new commandment. I don't know why He said to His disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment to love each other. We know in the Old Testament law, we know in the law of Moses, there was already a commandment that they were to love each other. When the Pharisaic lawyer challenged Jesus about what is the greatest commandment, you go read Matthew chapter 22 and you'll find an account of this man coming to Jesus, and he said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. There was already a commandment in the law about loving your neighbor. But I believe that perhaps one of the reasons, at least, and you may have many other thoughts about it, but when Jesus told them a new commandment, I've given you, that you love one another as I have loved you, God had come down from heaven and took up on Him the flesh, and He walked among us, and He set a personal example of how to love. He loved us to the extent that He went to the cross, and He freely stretched out His hands and gave His life, a ransom for our sins, gave His life so that we could be saved. The lawgiver was among us. And let me say this, that we were not merely advised, or we were not merely told as God's people that we should love each other. Jesus didn't say, now you ought to consider this. He said, I give you a commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And you cannot maintain Christianity without it, can you? Because it's based upon love. Love, the love that God showed to us when He saved us. I love that song, The Love of God. How rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints' and angels' song. The love of Christ, the Bible says, passes knowledge. It does. We just can't understand it all. But when you got it in your heart, you know how it feels, don't you? You know how it feels. I believe those in the world to whom God has put His love in their heart, those are the people that really, truly know how to love. How to love. And I appreciate the love that exists among the people of God. Let's have a song. And I'll say this, if you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord, he loved you so much that He gave His life for you, and He wants to save you and put His love in your heart. And He will if you'll meet His conditions of repentance and faith. God bless you. Let's stand and sing.
Let's turn to number 118 and do verses 1 and 4.
If you want to tell somebody you love them, go ahead.
Then we'll go to 140.
Just go ahead and do it.
And do a couple of verses. 118, 1 and 4. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Four, when with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.